News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
On News Talk.
Now, the Danish Prime Minister Mette Frederiksen said the attack by the US on a NATO ally, or an attack by the US on a NATO ally, would mean the end of both the military alliance and post-Second World War security. This comes after Donald Trump yet again threatened to take over Greenland. Adrienne Murray is a Copenhagen-based journalist. She joins us now. Adrienne, how seriously is the Danish government taking this threat from Trump?
Well, you know, I think the reaction from officials here in Denmark and also in Greenland, I think it speaks for itself. It's been seen as a serious provocation that's been met with a very strong response. Both the leaders of Denmark and Greenland have been saying that it's unacceptable to threaten to annex Greenland. And as you mentioned, I think Mette Frederiksen herself, she gave the most stark warning yet. She said if the US chose to attack another NATO country militarily, then everything stops, including NATO. And she warned that the security that's been established since the end of World War II would be at risk. So there's been alarm here in Copenhagen at this sort of repeated insistence by the president to take control over Greenland. I think opinions are divided about how this might play out. Greenland has only been away from the headlines for a few months, and suddenly it's been thrust back into the spotlight. Obviously, the US action in Venezuela has sort of changed the debate in the last few days. There's been a lot of back and forth already with strongly worded statements, and then there's been this sort of worry with the obviously the capturing of Venezuela's Maduro, and then the American conservative podcaster Katie Miller tweeting that image of Greenland with the word soon has sort of elicited this very strong response from both Denmark and Greenland. I think when you speak to most analysts here, there's quite a bit of caution. Most don't think that this would lead to a military operation. The situation in Venezuela and Greenland are very, very different. But nevertheless, there's been some very strong words, and this might suggest that there's some sort of proposal coming up. And, you know, Trump is not backing down at this insistence that the US should have control over Greenland.
Yeah, interesting. I was interested to hear the Danish Prime Minister talk about saying, look, you know, you can't have any unilateral action. We'll sit down and talk. We're happy to do that. Like, excuse me, what form would those talks take? I mean, I'm presuming there's no scope for compromise here in terms of the future of Greenland, is there?
I mean, I think there's been a very strong position that's unchanged from both Denmark and from Greenland, that, you know, Greenland's not for sale. The Greenlandic leaders have said that frequently. It's not for sale, though they do want to have good relations with the US and to have a good dialogue. And they've actually called for a direct line to discuss this with the US. The Prime Minister of Greenland was speaking just like last night. He said he wanted more dialogue and less of this sort of discussion over social media. He also sort of stressed that he did not think Greenland was in a situation where there could be a takeover of the country overnight. You know, he said we're a NATO member, an ally, and a democracy. And they want to have more dialogue with the US, and they've always said that Greenland's open for business. Having said that, you know, I don't think it's a far reach to imagine that, you know, Trump, he sort of has seen this in the past as a real estate purchase, and that sort of switched over the last year to be more of the importance of Greenland for national security of the United States. So whether there be some sort of discussion at the table to look at the military position, to the US, sorry, both Greenland and Denmark would be open probably to have more of a military presence. They're already sort of upping the amount of investment that's going into defence spending. But, you know, these are slightly unpredictable times. And I think, you know, both Greenland and Denmark officials have been a little bit baffled, because if security is the key issue, then there is already a framework. There are there is a defence agreement whereby the US could boost its military presence. Some have wondered whether they want to cut a deal on mineral resources. Trump has said recently that it's not about mineral resources. So that sort of leaves a question whether it's something else. Some have wondered, some analysts have suggested, is this a smokescreen because Trump wants more territory, just pure expansionism. But, you know, there'll have to be dialogue going forward. Europeans have come forward sort of backing Denmark. The German foreign minister said this needs to be a discussion within NATO because Greenland is a NATO ally as part of Denmark. I imagine that there's some sort of proposal being worked on in the White House. I wouldn't see that a far reach, but I think the fact they've appointed an envoy would probably suggest that they're going to go down the route of dialogue.
All right, Adrian, extraordinary times. Adrian Murray there, a Copenhagen-based journalist. I think a few weeks ago we probably would have dismissed, Ciara, the possibility of something happening here, but no longer. I think there is a very real risk that something will happen in Greenland, I think.
It's extraordinary, and I think there's no other word for it currently. But for more on this and for what has been unfolding over the last number of days, I'm joined now by David Smith, Washington Bureau Chief with The Guardian. Good morning to you, David. Bring us up to speed with what happened in New York yesterday.
Hi, yeah, well, Nicolas Maduro, deposed president of Venezuela, appeared in court in New York. He pleaded not guilty to four charges related to drugs, weapons, and narco-terrorism. His wife, Celia Flores, was there too at this hearing that lasted about half an hour. He said, I am innocent, I am not guilty, I am a decent man, in Spanish. He was shackled at the ankles as he sit there in the courtroom, dressed in orange slippers and a blue shirt on top of a neon orange shirt and beige pants. And then he was led out of the courtroom after what was obviously a very dramatic spectacle. And I would expect this will be quite a long, drawn-out process now of going through the courts with all the legal and international complexities.
Yeah, I think he's due next in court on the 17th of March on St. Patrick's Day. The reaction within the United States to what they're seeing happening on the television screens?
I think very divided, and there's opinion polls that suggest a significant number of people are in favour of what has happened and admire Donald Trump's decisiveness, and you know, at least as many people who are fiercely opposed to this and think it's a terrible idea and sets a terrible precedent. And certainly that is also reflected among politicians, where the Republican Party has generally rallied around Trump. And I think there are hawkish members of that party who've been involved in regime changes in the past who can't believe their luck and that this moment has come round again for them. And they're already talking about Cuba and other countries. But across the aisle, the opposition Democrats are incensed by what has happened for the reasons you'd expect about this being a breach of international law and what a terrible precedent it sets elsewhere. So, you know, as often in America, it's a split screen.
And lastly, David, is there much conversation there about what's going to happen now in Venezuela about the regime or indeed about the oil?
Yeah, tremendous amounts of conversation, and American cable news is full of discussion about this and trying to second guess, you know, what are Trump's actual motives here. Trump himself said on Monday, you know, the US may subsidize oil companies' efforts to rebuild the energy infrastructure in Venezuela, and estimated that could take about 18 months. Basically, the position at the moment seems to be the US hopes to coerce the Venezuelan government to do its bidding. And Trump has warned there could be a second military operation if they defy that. But also just a lot of hand-wringing and confusion and you know, comparisons with past US misadventures such as the Iraq War.
Look, thank you very much for joining us on all of that this morning. That is David Smith there, Washington Bureau Chief with The Guardian.
News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR
on News Talk.